The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, otherwise known as Good Shepherd Sunday. You often have seen pictures and illustrations, maybe you remember them from Sunday school, of Jesus being the Good Shepherd. Jesus carrying sheep, Jesus being followed by sheep. It's wonderful. White, big, fluffy sheep, happy to be carried by Jesus wherever he goes. And the words today that we heard are very comforting as well. The words that we heard from the introit psalm, the beginning psalm this morning. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The very familiar 23rd psalm, which we just sang, with the King of Love my shepherd is. The green pastures, the silent waters. And we think, it's nice to be a lamb in the flock with the good shepherd. Then we read about the first reading from Acts today, and it's a great and wonderful picture of the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to Eucharist, the breaking of the bread and the prayers, and they sold what they had in order to support one another. There was unity, there was harmony, gladness, there was growth in the church. This must have been the golden age for the church. And we think, yes, how nice it must have been to have been that in that church. To see 3,000 people on the first day of Pentecost. To see people giving up freely what they have for the gospel and to take care of one another. Then we get to the second reading, and Peter throws a giant monkey wrench into this well-oiled machine. Peter does not speak of green pastures or silent waters. Or he does not speak about unity or harmony or peace. He instead talks about suffering. Yay, Peter! Suffering unjustly. And when you do good, you will suffer for it. Yay, sign me up. I can't wait, Peter. And then the most scandalous thing of all that he says. He says, this is the way of Christ, the good shepherd. This is how Christ lived and what he did. This is our example that we might follow in his footsteps. So what is it? What is it today? Peace or persecution? Serenity, joy, silence, green pastures, or suffering and bloodshed? There are lots of voices out there, but the question is not which shepherding voice will you listen to, but which is the voice of the good shepherd, the true shepherd. Go back to Psalm 23 for a moment. We've heard this at so many memorial services. It's been on bulletin covers. It's been all over the place. David wrote this psalm. The last I checked, when you look at scriptures, David's life was not one of great peace and happiness. He had plenty of sin that he was dealing with, political intrigue, mutiny with his own son, and suffering. He even put to death a man's wife so he could have her as his own. Psalm 23 may be looked upon in a different light with that. And as far as the early church goes with Acts chapter 2, them dedicating themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, as we are still doing today, giving up all that they had for the account of others, it was really, though, not that golden. When you go back and read the first and second century, the early church, it was much more bloody than it was golden. The apostles were arrested, they were flogged, they were boiled in oil, they were skinned alive, they were martyred. There were internal disagreements and problems from the church in Jerusalem all the way to the church at Corinth. People were not willing to follow the apostles and the disciples. People actually had big-time disagreements in the church. Some things maybe never change at times. It still happens in the 21st century church, here and everywhere else. These things happen. We are fooling ourselves if we think that we don't have suffering, doubting, fighting, or anything else, or a life absence of problems or pains outside of the church. The amazing thing about the gospel reading here today is that Jesus here gives us true hope. Hope and joy in the midst of all of these things happening around us, even while we suffer for doing good. He tells us of a life that we have that is abundant, a peace that passes understanding. And so Jesus doesn't flatter us with smooth words or allure or attraction. He doesn't change what he's trying to do to join his religious club. He doesn't gussy up things. He doesn't speak false promises and grand ideas of transcending this life to somehow become more spiritual or more divine. No. He says, this is where you live. The valley of the shadow of death. This is where you live, known as the Vale of Tears. This is where you live, where men will persecute you, revile against you, say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. But rejoice, because the same happened to the prophets, the apostles, and to us. This is what it means to live in a sinful world as sinners in Christ's church. This isn't about putting on a face or a mask or acting more pious or holy or more knowledgeable or anything else in front of other Christians so that you can make it look like your life is pretty darn well right now. This is coming in with the messes, the problems, the fears, the shame, the guilt, the terrorized thoughts, the concerns. But it's coming into the sheep pen, to the sheepfold, with all of these things and laying them on the big and broad and loving and merciful shoulders of your good shepherd. The church is like a sheepfold. It's a wonderful analogy if you really think about it. Go out to some farm, meet with a farmer sometime that raises sheep. And Jesus says, that's the church. Sometimes the sheep pen is crowded and smelly. Sometimes the sheep don't like other sheep so much. Sometimes there's even fights of the sheep. Sometimes the sheep even bowl down the shepherd and constantly bowl him down. And sometimes the sheep don't like to be shepherded, and so they go off on their own. And yet Jesus says, you are all my sheep. I bore your sins, your shame, your guilt in my body. I took every last thing that you have done or left undone against God and one another, and I have taken them on to myself. I have died that you might live. I created you. I redeemed you. You are mine, and I love you. I love you when you're good. I love you when you're bad, he says. And I will discipline you with my law when you need it. But never to put us out of the pasture, but to bandage our wounds, to bind us up when we are hurt by what we have done against one another or even ourselves. And the greatest thing of all, the Good Shepherd will go after you when you wander off. He will leave the 99 to find the one lost sheep, no matter where they are or what they have done, because he wants them in the pen. And in all of this, he says, I will protect you, I will give you what you need for your life. Not more money, a fat wallet, a fat retirement account, not great health and prosperity, not a great retirement. I will give you my word. I will give you my body and my blood as I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies of sin, death, the devil, and one another, and even worse so, yourself. I will do all of this for you. I do not promise you your own private pasture, your own private stream of water without other sheep trampling in on it. I do not promise you a luxurious, carefree sheepfold. No, I promise you myself, says Jesus. I will never leave you or forsake you. You are not only mine, but I am your good shepherd. And then he even adds more to that by talking of thieves and robbers that climb into the sheepfold. Yes, it's right there as well. These are the false prophets, the false teachers, false churches, false promises and false thinkers of the world who are all inspired by the devil himself that want to lead you away from the good shepherd. But here's the kicker. They're not simply outside of the church. They climb inside the church and they cause a ruckus. And it doesn't take very long to see these kinds of troublers in the church today with all kinds of agendas and teachings. And it is something that I myself have to warn and guard my own self each and every day against. Because it's very easy as the under-shepherd, the pastor, to make it all about me, myself, and what I think I need to be doing. And if it happens with me, it's going to happen with the congregation as well. So in the midst of all of this, maybe your viewpoint of Jesus as the good shepherd and the Sunday school coloring pages and the stained glass windows and everything else, maybe it doesn't seem so happy and serene and joyous. What do we do in the midst of all of this? How do we protect ourselves? Well, it's not by getting a larger rod or a larger staff. It's not by calling numerous shepherds or somehow finding yourself doing more things on your own. It is simply by listening to the voice of the shepherd. Sheep have fantastic hearing. They can distinguish the voice of their own shepherd, the own farmer, from any other voice that they hear. They've been trained that way. And here is another wonderful picture, that in your baptism, that in this faith that you've been given, in hearing the word of God, the faith comes about with this. We hear the voice of the good shepherd, our Savior Jesus Christ, the voice of the true gospel. It is his voice that gives us forgiveness no matter where we are found in life. And the forgiveness of our sins comes the healing of our hearts from the inside out. It is his voice that leads us in the midst of the troubles of this life. As we face death, we look at death and say, I have no fear, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, your cross, your empty tomb, they comfort me. It is his voice from his word alone that will comfort and calm you in the midst of the trials, the confusion, cutting through all of the darkness so that his light and his truth may shine forth for you. And through that word, his voice is still calling out today, calling to sinners who do not know of him, calling to those who have fallen away from the sheepfold, calling to you who are sitting in here today in your own sins and in my sins, calling us to repentance, not so that we feel worse as we leave this place, but that our burdens may be taken away and placed on his cross and put to death, and so that we may be reminded that by his life-giving forgiveness, we have a life that is abundant. Not abundant life like here and now of more things that we can accumulate for ourselves. It is an abundant life that steps you out of your grave to live forever. And all of this is given to you today. His word speaks to you. His word feeds you again today with his own body and blood. He prepares this table for you Sunday in and Sunday out. We did this last week. We seem to do the same thing over and over and over and over again, we may say. That's what they did in Acts chapter 2. Recently, a scholar brought out what the first order of service looked like in the first century. What did the Christians do each Sunday when they got together? And line by line, outline by outline, it was exactly what we are doing here today. Dedicating ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to hearing his voice, dedicating ourselves to praying for one another and for all people according to their needs. And coming into this fellowship, which isn't coffee and cookie and donuts, although those are nice. It is coming to this fellowship around this table where the very Son of God, the Good Shepherd, meets you face to face and feeds you with himself and promises you and me that though you walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. His voice calls you out. His voice opens up the door to his pen, bringing you, his sheep, into his pen, into his church, and providing you everything that you need. So, as one of the hymns says very well, do not fear, little flock, here at Grace Lutheran Church. Do not fear in the midst of our numbers, our cares, our concern as a congregation. Do not fear in your own life, little flock, as you face your own fears, your struggles, your trials, your temptations, your sin. All of that is taken care of by your good shepherd. For you are Jesus's little lamb. The sheep the lamb has bled for and died and lives again for. And in him, so too will you live forever. The thief may come to steal and kill and destroy, and if he does, he has still lost. For Jesus gives you life from the dead. And that life he has given to you and to me and to all people, and it can never be taken away. For as he says, for those who come into my fold will have life and have it abundantly. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever.